Chapter number 4, so what we've been looking at a little bit in the book of Galatians is that God has set us free and that we are not under the bondage of sin anymore. And what the Judaizers are trying to do to these churches in Galatia is try to put them back into bondage. And the exciting thing that we know now from the Bible is that we've been set free from sin, we've been set free from the penalty of sin, and we've been set free of the bondage of sin. And that's what that song was talking about. I also enjoyed those young ladies singing too. What a wonderful spiritual truth. You know, it's little by little. If you try to make a whole giant step at one time, that's really hard to do. But if you make a decision to grow closer to God each day, little by little, boy, it becomes, they call it a cinch, but I don't know if it's really a cinch, but it's doable. You can handle it. It's just a constant every day trying to make a new breakthrough, every day trying to learn more about Him. Every day just trying to enjoy your relationship with God. And that's what you're supposed to be able to do, is enjoy the fellowship you have with Him, enjoy the relationships you have with God, and that He's your Father, you're His child. And not only that, but you can also be a friend. Also there, He's your master. Just a great, what you have in Jesus Christ is so wonderful. You're supposed to be enjoying that. Your Christian life is not supposed to be a drudge. It's not supposed to be like a punishment or falling under the pressure of it. You're supposed to be able to live above the circumstances because of what you have in Jesus Christ. Here tonight, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at the title, Two Sons. Two Sons. And Paul here, he says he writes an allegory. He's giving you a story to try to tell a comparison here, more than a story, comparison of what's going on. And he talks about what happened with Hagar and Sarah and Abraham. And gotta be honest with you, tonight's passage is a little bit harder to explain, a little bit harder to deal with. But with God's help, we're gonna talk about this passage of two sons. Now, in verses 12 all the way down to verse number 21, Paul kind of bears his heart there. He's talking about bondage. He's talking about what the Judaizers are trying to do. He's talking about how they have tried to bewitch them into believing that they had to follow the law in order to be able to be a Christian, in order to be saved. But here, let's start here in chapter 4. We're going to go ahead and start in verse number 7. We're not going to spend much time here, but we're going to give you a little bit of reminder. Chapter 4, verse number 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. He's talking about when you did not know God, you used to serve idols. Verse number 9, but now after that you have known God, he says, once you became not only of a knowledge of God and understanding, but a personal relationship of God, or rather are known of God. That's the point there. Known of God, known as a child of God. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? And here's what Paul's saying. He says, you used to be a servant of something. You used to have to serve something. You turned to God. Now, why are you turning back to an idol? Why are you turning back to serving something when you don't need to do that? It's just the same illustration. When God saves us, He sets us free. Why in the world we turn back to the flesh? Why in the world do we turn back to the bondage that we were in before? It didn't help us then. It didn't get us anywhere then. But many times that's what Christians do. They turn from God and head right to those things they struggled with before. And he keeps on going in verse number 10. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And then we saw those other verses. He gets really personal. He begins trying to do everything he can to try to get their mind on the right set, trying to get them to understand that they're saved, they're on their way to heaven. They need to start acting that way. And go down in verse number 20. He says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. That's when he ended the personal side of the message, the personal side of the story. He goes back into teaching. He's going to give them an allegory. He's going to give them a comparison. He's going to remind these people of a story that they knew very well. These Judaizers knew very well about the story of Hagar and the story of Sarah and the story of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, they were saying that they were of that lineage, that they were their children, and they despised Ishmael. They despised anyone from that race or from that group of people because they were something after the flesh. But what he's going to teach them tonight, he says, look, if you go after and follow after this type of legalism and go after trying to live under the law, all you're doing is being like Ishmael was. You say, what do you mean by Ishmael? Well, we're going to see in the story of the two sons here, there was one that was conceived by faith, and there was one conceived by the flesh. You go back into the story. I'm going to give you a little reminder about what happened in Genesis, and we're not going to go back all that way, but we're going to look at this. Abraham and Sarah are getting old. Abraham has been made by God many great promises that his children were going to be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the skies. But they approaching the age of 86 in Abraham, and just a little bit, 10 years younger, and Sarah have no children. The custom of that day was if a woman was barren and was not going to have any children, she would give her bondservant, her maidservant, to her husband, and the child would be born and kind of become the child of the barren woman in a proxy type thing, that it would be then the custom, it would be her child to raise and to call their own, and that would be the heir. Now, what happened here is Sarah and Abraham began to lack faith. Especially Sarah, at this point, she came up with the idea. She thought of it. She got tired of waiting for God, got tired of waiting for God's promises, got tired of believing that God was going to do something supernatural. And in her flesh, she decided she was going to help God along the way. You ever been there? You ever been there where you think that, hey, God made me this promise, we should be seeing this happen, let me go ahead and just kind of help God along the way. See, God doesn't need any help. When we begin to do things in our own way and by our own flesh, we are doing it through our flesh. We're not doing it by faith. And this is Ishmael. Abraham knows Hagar. You're going to see the word Agar in there, which is the name Hagar, but meant in the Greek, Agar. And you see it, that she conceives a child. Ishmael is born. And as Ishmael is born, he was born after the flesh. But years later, approximately maybe 14 years later, Abraham gets a visit from God. They conceive, and it was supernatural. Amen. She was barren. He was well past the years. It wasn't supposed to be happening. But see, this was the promise. And this happened because of faith. In the book of Romans, it talked about how they did not stagger, that they kept on believing. And by faith, they had this child. And hear what Paul is saying. I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to tell you this story that you think you know so well. He says you have one over here that Hagar and Abraham in the flesh, in their own works, tried to make God's promise come true. They tried to do a work in the flesh to please God. But over here on this side, Abraham and Sarah, by faith, just by faith, believed in God, and because of that, they received the promise. And they're saying, this Judaizer, when these Judaizers come into the church and tell these group of these churches of Galatia and says, look, you have to follow the law. You have to do this, this, and this in order to be a Christian. He says, you're just being like Ishmael over here. You say, how, Pastor? It's because it's a work of the flesh. He's telling these churches in Galatia that this is nothing more than just the flesh. You're putting yourself back into bondage. And he says, over here is faith. Over here is how you were saved. But over here is what the Judaizers are trying to do. They're trying to put you back under the bondage and put you back into works. Because this conception, this child was born by the flesh, by their own works, by them trying to think, hey, God must have forgot about me. Let me go ahead and earn this. Let me go ahead and do this in my own strength. Where over here, it's all God, and he gets the promise. Now, that's what the two distinctions are here, and that's what the story is mostly about. He is telling these churches, you're no better than what Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar did, because they were tired of waiting on the promise of God, and they came to the point where they said, we need to help God out, and I have to do this in order to get God's promise. It's the same thing as when they say you have to follow the law in order to get God's promise. But God's promise wasn't about the law. God's promise was what God had offered unto Abraham. Let's look here in verse number 21. Tell me, and I like this verse because Paul here is being a little bit sarcastic, but he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And I think what he's saying here is, look, you people that want to go live under the law, Do you not hear the law? Do you not know what the law expects? You cannot discern between the law and grace. And he's saying that they are so eager to saddle themselves with the law and the Mosaic terms. He's saying, do you not hear what the law expects from you? And he says, you're so eager to go put yourself under bondage and saddle yourself with the things of Moses and saddle yourself with the things of the law, but all you're doing is being like what Hagar and Abraham and Sarah tried to do. Look what it says in verse 22. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she which hath a husband. For now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so, if so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we need your help here. Lord, give us some clear understanding of this passage. Help us to see the picture of law and grace. Help us to see the two examples. And Lord, help us to, Lord, to steer away from this idea of the flesh. We see what the flesh can do to us. We see how you deal with the flesh, how you sever the flesh here. And Lord, I pray that we ourselves look deep in our hearts and say, I want to live for God. I want to live by the grace of God. I don't want to live according to the flesh or pleasing to the flesh with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see is the picture of law and grace. The picture of law and grace. And you see this in the two sons of Abraham. Paul uses the two sons of Abraham to contrast the law and grace. First things, in verses 22 and 23, I want to show you the difference between the flesh versus faith. Look what it says. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, we had already given you a little bit of the details about this. Ishmael was born after the flesh to Abraham by Hagar, an Egyptian bondwoman, Sarah's handmaid. The Bible says in Genesis 16:15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Ishmael was born because Sarah had lost faith and gave Hagar to Abraham in order to produce an heir. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't see what's so wrong here. Why in the world did it seem like it's so bad? They were waiting and God wasn't speaking. God wasn't answering. But see, this is where faith steps in. This is the difference between the flesh versus faith. You know, what can the flesh do? The flesh can do many things, but God will not accept the flesh. He will not accept your work in the flesh. God wants us to live a life of faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And so we are going to be able to do certain things in our flesh, but what God's seeking for us to do is to take steps in our lives by faith. Fleshly things are things that we can do in our own strength and our own might, but when it comes to spiritual things, God wants us to take steps. Even when it comes to physical things, he wants to take steps, not based off what we can do in our flesh, but based off of what he can do with us by faith in him. Bible says in Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This was a sin. This fleshly child, Ishmael, was born of the bondwoman. The Galatians were going back into the law and trying to live by the law, and the strength of the flesh would put them once again in bondage. It's the same illustration I made before. Ishmael was all about what they could do. And this is what the Judaizers, these people are coming into the churches and saying, hey, look, you got to do this, this, and this. It wasn't about faith. It wasn't about the promise, but instead it was about what they could do. And our salvation has nothing about what we can do. Our salvation is clearly about what Jesus Christ has done. All we have to do is believe and trust in him and repent of our ways. Not an actual work, not some type of work that we can do to bring favor of God. So you see the fleshly side, the son of the flesh in Ishmael, but you see the son of faith, which is Isaac. The son of faith, which is Isaac. Isaac was born of Sarah, a free woman, according to the promises God gave to Abraham. When Abraham and Sarah believed God, they received the promised son. Faith is based upon God's word and his integrity to keep his promises. One was done by performance. One was done by promise. And when it comes to our salvation, what Paul is teaching here is it can't be based off of what you are doing. It must be based off of what he has promised to us. The Bible says in Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." At the age of 86, Abraham in the flesh had a son. But at the age of 100, he gave heir to the promise. God did this miracle in his power, not through man's. Isaac has a wonderful story. It was a miraculous birth. It was in the fullness of time. Just like you talk about in the book of Galatians, that when there was a great time and that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time that we learn in chapter number 4, Isaac came right at the right time. Why? You say, why is that? Because at 100 and at 90 years old, everyone knew that it was impossible without God. And that's what they wanted to show. It was a conception of faith, and it was by promise. Not only do you see faith versus the flesh, but I think here in verses 24 through 27, you see the law versus grace. The law versus grace. There's two different covenants that are mentioned here. And that's what it says in verse number 24. Which things are an allegory? He's giving them an example. He's going back and teaching the Judaizers by their own stories, by their own errors. For these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. And she's saying, look, you go back to Mount Sinai. What happened there when Moses received the law? And he gave this law. And from this, Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now is, and is in bondage with her children. This is the law that was given. Hagar, Sarah's bond woman, represents the law, for she was held under bondage and required to do the works of her master. At Mount Sinai, God gave a conditional covenant. If they would follow this, God would bless them. But that's not what we are under. That's not the covenant that we're under. That's what he's telling them here. It's just not something that you have to apply to. That's what he's saying, that it's talking about the earthly Jerusalem. But in verse 26, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And Paul is saying here, look, we don't follow after Hagar. We are not from that lineage. We're not from that kind. Instead, we look at it, we look above. We don't look at what we can do. We look at what God can do. And it is not by faith. It's just by faith, not of works. We see the bondage, the earthly, fleshly one in verse 25. Verse 27, 26 and 27 refers to the upper one, the heavenly one. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." What the Bible is saying here is that Sarah represents grace. Hagar represents the law. She was free to follow God by faith, and this is a picture of the freedom that we have to serve God. This is the gospel's freedom that's given here. It's a direction that's given. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. We see the results once we are saved of the heavenly Jerusalem is that we are set free from the bondage of sin, but also the gospel will produce the fruit of the barren, talking about Sarah, that the law, Hagar, could never do. What Paul is telling these churches is, why are you going back and serving the old way? Look here in verses 28 to 31. You'll see not only, you'll see the path of the spiritual free, the path of the spiritual free. There's some different verses here that Paul tells to the churches of Galatia here, just trying to help them. First of all, in verse 28, he says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." So he's saying to them, look, this is what we are. He says, you can go back into Judaizers once you put you back under the law. You're doing the same thing that Hagar, Abraham, and Sarah did. You're after the lineage Ishmael. But he said, over here, that we are not like that. We're under Isaac. Who made Sarah have a child? How did she do it? It was by faith. How did you get saved? You got saved by faith. Who formed Isaac in the womb? How did that happen? It happened by faith. How do we form Christ in our heart? It's by faith. And what he's saying here is that we are born of the promise, that in verse 28, you are different. You're not like these others that are saying that you have to follow the law. Instead, he's saying that you have been born of the promise. One was done by performance. The other was done by promise. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but know that we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have promises that God's given us. Now, once again, we can work under the flesh, and we can try to earn a way to God, or we can accept God's way of salvation. Second thing I want you to see is that we'll be subject to persecution and trial. Now we are born in the promise, into the promise, we are subject to persecution and trial. Look what it says in verse number 30, actually verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, and he's referring to Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. The story is told in Genesis chapter number 21. It says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Now, here's the deal. As soon as Isaac was weaned, Ishmael began to mock him. See, Ishmael was after the flesh. Ishmael had no interest in the promise. Ishmael didn't have any interest in the promise that God had made to Abraham and Sarah. Can you imagine how jealous Ishmael was? For those years, probably approximately 13, 14 years, he had the heart of his father. But now there's a new child. Now there is an heir, a new heir. Ishmael is being pushed to the side. And we see the fleshly side of Ishmael coming up. Not rejoicing, not excited that he has a half-brother. But instead, what do we see? We see him mocking. And this gives us a story of what the flesh does. I don't know about you, but it repulses me what my flesh can do. If we let ourselves go and we do what we want according to our flesh, we can go farther than we ever thought we'd go. We see what the world does, and this is the point here. You're going to see here in the next verse. Go ahead and just look at the next verse. It talks about how we must separate. It says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You know, most people read that story, that what happened to Hagar, and say, boy, God was rough, God was mean, God was cruel, kicked her out of the house and said it was okay. Sarah says, look, I'm not going to let that boy be around my son. Well, see, what the flesh will do, it will try to destroy the promise. See, they knew, God knew what the flesh was going to do to the promise. God knew that the flesh was going to mock. God knew that when he had the chance, Ishmael would have killed Isaac. God knew that him being the other rightful heir, he would have gotten rid of him. And that's why God says, look, let's kick Enoch, get rid of him. Sarah says, look, he is not going to be heir along with my son, because one is by the promise and one's by the flesh. And he says, it just cannot mix. And here's the point that I'm trying to get to is, you know, the path of our spiritual freedom, it begins when we are born into a promise, but we're going to be subject to persecution and trials. Ishmael made fun of Isaac. He mocked him. And the believers in Paul's day criticized and persecuted Paul. You think about it. This whole book at the beginning, what is Paul doing? He is telling the Galatians, he's saying, look, this is what I did. You learned of Christ from me. You knew these things. And he went through his whole testimony, spot by spot by spot, teaching them, look, I am real. I am your friend. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he's telling them about the love of them. Where did they learn all these things? The Judaizers ripped Paul apart. They told lies about him. That's what the flesh does. And that's what is being told here in this allegory, in this story. He's saying to them, look, just like they booted Isaac and Hagar out of the house because they were the flesh. Now, we know in the story, if you go back and you look at the story, God takes care of Ishmael, takes care of Hagar because of the promises he made to God. You know, God, he was there and he was getting ready to die, and Hagar separated him, and there was a well there, and they provided the well. God provided the well. Just as the day when God provided the ram for Isaac, you know, he protected him. Is that he didn't leave him to die. But you know what? The flesh has to be severed. has to be taken away from the spiritual things. And this is why we should not play with the flesh. This is why we must deal with it severely. Just as the bondwoman's son could not remain in the same household as the promised heir, the Judaizers, look what it says in verse number 30, could not stay with the Christians. It says, "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." What he's saying there, he says, look, you need to cast out those that are trying to teach a different gospel. You say, "Pastor, why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just join hands and all come into the same church service and, you know, be part of these great big meetings where the Catholics and the Muslims and the evangelicals are all coming together and saying, look, just because you believe this, it's not a big deal." Well, the Bible says here that we need to cast out those that are not preaching and teaching the truth. If you think you are going to earn your way to salvation, then you don't have a place with those that are born of the free woman. If they're going to go and they're going to try to earn their way to salvation through jihads or through paying certain penance or by doing certain works and certain laws, they don't have a place with the free. They don't have a spot. And that's why Paul is saying, look, you have no spot with these Judaizers. You need to get them out the door just as they got Hagar out the door. Once again, this is a comparison. He's telling these people, he's coming back here, look, I want you to think about the story of Hagar. I want you to think about the story of Sarah. I want you to think about the story of Abraham. He says, you don't understand what the law is asking. And as we saw in verse number 21, do you not hear the law? What you're saying is that you're asking us to go under the law and do with these other ones that you consider wrong. Verse 31 says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." You know, Romans 8, 15 through 18 says this, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, when I look at these verses, it tells us that we're children of God. Being a certain child means you should act a certain way. Now, I know you might think this sounds foolish, but your parents might have said the same thing to you. You know, why are you acting like this? You're my child. You're not supposed to act like this. You ever told your child, now remember who your parents are. When you go out there, you're representing me too. I don't know about you, but I've told my kids that. I tell them that when our teenagers would get off the van and we'd go somewhere else, it says, number one, remember that you're representing the church. Faith Baptist Church, you're representing me because you're a leader. And I says, you need to make sure you act the way you're supposed to. I said, but more importantly, you represent Jesus Christ. As representing Jesus Christ as a child of God, there is a certain way that you're supposed to act. And being a child of the free woman, being a child of a joint heir together with Christ, there's a certain way you're supposed to act. I even tell my kids when they go somewhere, you say, you're just being mean to your kids. No, I think there's a way that they're supposed to act. They know better. They've been brought up better. Sometimes other kids maybe haven't had the same privileges or the same trainings, haven't been in church as much. But there are certain times when I say, look, you knew better. You shouldn't act like that. You know, you're acting like you don't know any better. You're acting like the flesh. And that's what Paul is telling these men and the churches in Galatia. Don't you understand? When you go back underneath the law, you're acting after the flesh. You're acting about what you can do. But he says, but we have the promise by faith. Now, like I said, tonight's message might have been a little bit harder to understand, but I think there's some things you can take away from this. God expects you to act like a child of God. When you're out in the world, he doesn't expect you to just turn around and live like the world and do things by the flesh. He expects you to understand that you're a child of God. You're born, as it says in verse 28, we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. And verse number 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free. You know, we have a certain way we're supposed to live as Christians. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. We have a certain way to live because of who our Father is. So when we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I want you to consider these two sons. There is one that's done by the flesh, and there's one that's done by faith. How are you doing your life now? Are you doing everything you can in the flesh, or are you doing it by faith? How about the service you do here at this church? If you teach, maybe if you have a ministry, or maybe even if you're just here and faithfully supporting the church and just here as helping in other areas. Is the things you're doing, are you doing it because of the flesh, what you can do and how much work you can accomplish? Or are we doing it by faith because we're seeking God's blessing? There's a difference. Are you living by the flesh, or are you living by faith? The flesh is Ishmael. He's one who mocks. He's the one who looks down upon. He's the one that persecutes. He's the one that has no good end in sight. And we see that Ishmael's relatives today are still out in the desert and still fighting with those that are of the promise. But by faith, we live our lives believing and trusting in God. So let me ask you tonight, when you look at this passage of Scripture and you try to understand what's being said here, who are you acting more like? Are you acting like Sarah did when she went to Abraham and says, look, take Hagar, God needs some help? Are you trying to forfeit your faith by not putting your faith and trust in God and saying, you know what, God has forgotten about me, I'm going to do what I can for myself? Are we being like Abraham and Sarah later on that believed by faith? Because once Sarah saw and she was looked down upon, when Hagar conceived, Hagar looked down upon Sarah. Sarah says, look, I did wrong. I shouldn't have done this. Put the blame on me. She understood. And then she began by faith having the promise that God someday was going to give her child. And later on, God does. I know that she does sometimes. She does forget it, or sometimes she laughs at it, but we also find in the Bible where she had faith to accomplish this too. So tonight, are we living by the flesh, or are we living by faith? Are we living under the law, or are we living by grace? Remember, there are going to be times when we had to fight, there are going to be times when we're going to be persecuted, but let's always remember that we are a child of God, and there's a certain way you're supposed to act. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.